been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, May 13th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe out. We got a full-blown rally on our hands this morning. You know, I started to feel some fresh air coming through the market here this morning. Markets don't go down forever. It seems like when you get a three-day, four-day, two-week sell-off that there's no end to the selling, but there always is. And, you know, whether it's short covering or whether it's irrational exuberance or just plain old buying, it's coming into the markets here today. The Dow right now is up 412 points, and it's back to 34,000. The NASDAQ, we call it the beleaguered NASDAQ, which got very close to 13,000 yesterday, which I consider to be very strong support. The NASDAQ's up 191 right now to 13,223. The good news is our inverse funds are doing horrible today, but the other 90%, 98%, 95% of our holdings are doing great today. I'd rather have them doing well than the inverse funds. The S&P 500 is up 53 to 4,116. The small caps up 1.5% right now. Crude oil down $1.40 to $64.68. Gold down $2 per ounce to $18.20. Let's see where interest rates are at. That's a key one right there. Well, up to 1.68. That's where it closed yesterday, so we shouldn't be too worried there. 1.68% on the 10-year. And Bitcoin, good old Elon Musk, Bitcoin is down 5,800 today to 50,709. What did Elon say now? So welcome to the Thursday, May 13th edition of Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 22 years, what have I learned in the business? To step back from the market from time to time. You can't control the day-to-day stuff. It will drive you nuts. You have to step back and take a longer-term perspective. For some of you, I know that means 3 hours or 3 days or maybe even 3 weeks. But no, you have to map it out over the next several years of where you want to be and what it's going to take to get you there. What percentage do you need to do? What average over time? How much do you need to put away every single year? If you're just playing it, that's a different thing. I understand. But for most of us, this isn't play money. It's serious money. And you do have to step back. I've used the analogy many times. I knew a very famous artist. He was a tenant of ours, my father, in a business park that my father owned. A little suite of artists. It was an artist. It was a little artist colony. It was really neat meeting all those people in there. And one of them was Paul Detlefsen, who did a lot of old-time, Americana paintings. A lot of them were sold at Sears as prints. But he was very, very well-known and very, very good. And I would walk in there and talk to him, and he'd be about 2 inches from the canvas with his eyes. He wasn't a young guy. He had a long white beard, typical artist type. And I would watch him putting in that little highlight on the bumper of that old model, that red old classic car, you know. And then I would see him step back quite a few feet from the painting, maybe 10 feet, and take a look at the big picture. You know, he would go from that little dot on the fender of that car, look, step back and look at the big picture. We got to do that sometimes in life. There's no question about that. If you can't do that, you're going to get yourself driven to the madhouse. The market will drive you mad. That's why you've got to step back from time to time, take a deep breath, and take a look at the big picture. Now, where I see the big picture more than anything, I do have to get down into the details of the market every day myself and look at those individual stock charts. And while I continue to see bashing taking place in that ultra-high growth area of the market, the rest of the market has held up just fine. So I haven't been too worried, but at the same time, I do have to be an active manager in the market and watch my individual positions. But I also have to step back at the end of the day and take a look at the big picture. So what is the big picture? Well, let's begin with yesterday. Yesterday was very gloomy. And you know what they say, sometimes the darkest hour is right before the dawn. Boy, I'm full of corny cliches today, but you know what? They mean something. I found that to be true. Sometimes the darkest hour is right before the dawn. I've seen many times, you know, dark hours in my own life or dark hours in the weather. We had a very dark hour here in our weather yesterday. But you know what I've always, I'm waxing philosophically here, but that's okay. You know what else I've also found in life? That after a tempest or after a storm goes through your life or through your town or whatever, have you ever noticed that when it clears out, the air just smells a little fresher, everything's a little cleaner, the grass is a little greener, the sky is a little bluer, the water's a little bluer, the sound of the birds is a little more melodic? We need tempest and storms from time to time in our lives to keep us humble, you know, I guess, and to learn from those storms that come into our lives from time to time. I don't think this is the big bear market. I am concerned about all the crises around the world that it seems like on a daily basis we have another crisis. I'm especially concerned right now about what's going on in Israel. Surrounded by all of these enemies lobbing missiles into their small, tiny little postage stamp of a country. And, of course, there's other hot spots. There's inflation rearing its ugly head. So, anyways, yesterday was not a good day in the market. The NASDAQ was down 2.7%. The Dow was down like 500 or 600 points. Maybe that was the darkest hour right before the dawn. Yesterday, the CPI report came out, and it was scary. It was much hotter than expected. Well, today we had the PPI come out, and it was a little bit cooler than expected. The jobless claims came out a little bit better than expected. I've got something to say about the jobless claims here in a moment. I had an experience at a local restaurant last night that I think sheds a lot of light on what's going on with the job situation and the labor shortage right now. But we had an ugly day yesterday. The 10-year Treasury jumped 6 basis points to 1.67. Massive sell-off in these bond funds, which I've been warning about. The biggest bond fund is LQD. Look at a chart of that. It had massive outflows yesterday. And not only did it have massive outflows, it had a lot of short interest in that. So it's really under siege. It's surrounded, too, and missiles flying into it. But I want to tell you just a little story. This weekend in our neck of the woods, we'll be on national TV. The PGA Tour is here at Kiawa, which is about 20 minutes from me. It's just a beautiful place on the ocean. Kiawa Island is just gorgeous. We go there a lot just for peace and serenity. It's one of the places in the world where the dolphins chase fish up onto the shore. It's called, I can't think of the word right now, but they actually come right up on the shore and crawl after the fish that they've corralled. It's quite a scene to see. It's very, very close to nature there. So anyways, there's a lot of people in town, especially in our downtown of Charleston, for this PGA. Well, I went out to dinner last night to one of my favorite places downtown, Pearl's Oyster Bar on East Bay Street. Best clam chowder in the world, best broiled oysters in the world. All my favorite things. Fried shrimp, oh baby. Anyways, there were three people manning this entire restaurant. This is generally a packed restaurant, and they gave me a limited menu with about 5 or 6 items on it. Usually they have a very extensive menu. I said, well, you know, what's going on? Because the last time I went there, the same thing happened. We can't get any help. We cannot get any help. And I looked them in the eye, I said, you know, in your opinion, what do you think's going on? He said, well, we're in the restaurant industry. We talk to other people that are in the restaurant industry too. They're staying at home. They're getting paid more to stay home than they are to get to work. So anybody who says that is not playing a big role, she says that's number one. Number two is a lot of people obviously have gotten out of the industry, but fear of coming back to work because of COVID is not the reason. If you're getting paid to stay home, what the heck, man? Stay home, I guess. It's a big, big problem right now. Leading to limited menus at Pearl's Oyster Bar. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. What's going on in Japan? The Japan market. I got to do a little research on that. Barry, if you're listening to the show, maybe you can research. But that Japan market is just getting pummeled. I watched the ETF EWJ, and I also watched the inverse Japan ETF. It's blowing up to the upside, while it goes down to the downside. So something going on in Japan. There seems to be a lot of hot spots around the world right now, more so than usual. Initial jobless claims come in a little bit better than expected, 553K. Producer price indexes rise more than expected in April, but the market seems to be shrugging this off. There's no way labor costs aren't going to be driven higher. In fact, the servers there at Pearl's Oyster Bar, where I highly recommend, if you ever come to Charleston, sit at the counter of Pearl's Oyster Bar and watch them shuck your oysters right in front of you. I know some of you don't like raw oysters. Well, you know what? Then get the chicken sandwich. What can I say? But it's like kissing the ocean is what they say. Eating a raw oyster is like kissing the ocean. Anyways, they're telling me that, you know, wages have to go up, and these workers have bargaining power right now. Hey, I want $17 an hour to come in and fry shrimp for you. So it's just got to drive prices. It's got to drive input prices higher, which is going to eventually lead to higher prices for your meals. There's just no way about it. Well, the Fed's Clarita says the jump in inflation is transitory. Okay, well, we'll see. Seems to me like there's quite a bit of oomph behind this rise in inflation. Higher auto prices accounted for a third of April's big jump in consumer prices. Higher auto prices, well, that's because of the inputs into autos, whether it's rubber for tires, whether it's steel, or whether it's aluminum. The inputs are going up. Soybeans hit nearly a 9-year high as the USDA confirms outlook for a very tight supply. But it's not just soybeans. It's corn, it's wheat, it's fertilizer, it's across the board. And let's not forget oil and gas right now. There's a big story out here in my neck of the woods with the Colonial Pipeline. Well, I didn't stop to get gas yesterday. I didn't personally see any lines here in Charleston, but I know it's bad in North Carolina. And I think in most of South Carolina, I've always recommended having about 20 gallons in your garage if you're allowed to, or have a car you could plug in just in an emergency. Colonial Pipeline has no plan to pay the ransom. They want to ransom these people. Can you imagine these people, how evil they are? They want a ransom. Well, there is panic buying. It's emptied 28% of North Carolina gas stations and more than 17% of the stations in Georgia and Virginia have also run dry. So, I don't see that as a real big thing. yet. It should be back up here. I think it's back up today. But you got Brent crude at $70. You've got now gasoline at $3 per gallon, which it hasn't been there since 2008, I want to say. And it's impacting, you know, it has tentacles that reach out. It's impacting Home Depot and Lowe's, okay, on higher shipping costs. Food delivery stocks like DoorDash and Waiter and Grubhub are being hit by higher gasoline prices. Probably impact the airline. Who knows? It does have tentacles that reach out. Okay, we will be in Sarasota. We'll get to all the crises around the world here in a minute, but I just want to pause here and say we're narrowing that down. We're looking at the second or third week in June. For now, that's all you got to do is call our 855-611-BEST number, 855-611-BEST. Leave a message and indicate whether you want to attend the workshop at the Grove or have an appointment with us or both, okay? And then in time, when we have all the details together, Edie will get back to you and nail it down. But we've almost got the dates nailed down here now. But I like to give advance notice because I know a lot of people like to make plans in advance. And I do expect to have a full house, unless you've all lost it for me down there in Sarasota. We'll find out. But I think we still have a pretty good relationship. Anyways, I can't wait to get down there. Crises in the world. Chevron shuts the Tamar gas platform offshore Israel as area violence rises. You know, there's a lot of talk show hosts out there, and I do listen to a lot of them. I've been a talk show junkie, believe it or not, since I was 6 years old. That's right. Bill Gunderson was listening to political and national and world talk shows. I've always felt very connected to the rest of the world and wanting to know what's going on around the world. And my go-to, you may not like his politics, but my go-to for what's going on in Israel is Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is a, you know, an Orthodox Jewish, practicing Orthodox Jew. And he probably has family in Israel there, too. But his podcast from yesterday was quite enlightening. I listened to it with great intent on what is going on in Israel right now between Israel, Hezbollah, Hamas. You know, it's not a good situation at all. And I got to believe that, you know, the market doesn't like that either. That's very unsettling, what's going on there. Hacker DarkSide claims it has attacked new corporate targets. Now, this is the same ones that hacked this pipeline. They supposedly are out of Russia. They have not named who they've attacked, but they have said the companies have not confirmed publicly that they have been attacked, but one is said to be based in Illinois. What is Deer, Peoria, Illinois, I want to say? One is in the UK, and one is in Brazil. Well, that could be Petrobras in Brazil. UK, who knows? I mean, there's a big commodity company out of the UK, BHP. And Illinois, you could probably narrow that down pretty quickly. It sounds to me like it could be Deer. Anyways, DarkSide at it again. U.S. government, more bad news. I put this under the heading of crises in the world. U.S. government deficit increases to $1.93 trillion fiscal year to date. Well, we're about halfway through the fiscal year. The fiscal year for the U.S. Ends on September the 30th. The U.S. government spent $226 billion more than it took in last month, bringing the year-to-date fiscal deficit halfway through the year to $1.93 trillion. That's up 33% from the $1.45 trillion deficit during the same period a year ago. During the month of April, government had total receipts of $439 billion, and they spent a cool $665 billion with $18 billion in payments to the Unemployment Trust Fund. You know, I tell you, our governor here in South Carolina, he understands the problem that this has created, and he's going to refuse federal money for unemployment. So, you know what? It's a problem. Well, what's going on in Japan. Okay, I got that. Interest rates when we come back. What's going on with the semiconductors, COVID, what's Kathy Wood up to? Welcome back here to the second half of the Fresh Air, edition of the Best Talks Now show. Whew, take a deep breath in, let it out slowly. The market's up 504 today on the Dow, and the NASDAQ, when the little bug comes around, the NASDAQ, the S&P's up almost 60 points here today. And the NASDAQ's up 192. As I do a little sort on the S&P 500, here's your leading S&P 500 stocks. Lam Research, which is a chip stock. Applied Materials, which is a chip stock. KLA Tencor, which is a chip stock. And then I see a lot of commodity stocks. I see GT, Goodyear Tire and Rubber. I see Nucor, N-U-E. I see Albemarle, which is a chemical stock, and those seem to be the biggest movers in the market today. Lowe's is also having a very good day, the home improvement store. Not seeing much at the bottom of the list. Maybe the oil stocks are having a little bit of profit-taking today. All right. Well, let's take a look here. We just took a look at the chip stocks. Okay, I wanted to do this little story here on interest rates. LQD is the largest bond ETF. It is under fire. The investment community's largest credit exchange traded fund, iShares LQD, has hit the highest levels of short interest in the ETF's history. 21.5% of the shares are short. That means people are betting that interest rates are going higher and that bonds are going lower. LQD is under pressure as inflation discussions circle the market. That's an interesting story. I was looking at these fund flows and I was looking at a chart of LQD. not too good, all right? COVID, MGM Resorts opens up Vegas gaming floors to 100% occupancy. There you go. Okay, you're looking for a place to go this weekend. Go up to the MGM, see a show. I don't know if the buffet's open. That's all I really care about is that buffet. But the gaming floor, 100% occupancy. Well, Jim Cramer's come up with coined a new term, and it's not Coinbase, it's Woodstocks. Kathy Wood stocks. The stocks that Kathy owned. Here's what Jim Cramer had to say. He's finally saying what I've been saying for 7-8 weeks. Cramer is calling them Wood stocks. If you own the turbocharged growth stocks, okay, I've been using the word ultra growth, extreme growth, that slice of the market. He's going even further and calling them turbocharged growth stocks. You either need to steel yourself for the pain. That means you better have an iron stomach, all right? Because it's down 36% since February. Or cut your losses on the next sharp move. Because we're in a market that's very different from last year. Now, this is Jim Cramer. I find I'm usually about 2 or 3 months ahead of Jim Cramer. You know what? And I'm humble, too. Jim Cramer said in the latest episode of Mad Money. Who said this? Here's what Jim said yesterday, God bless him. What worked in 2020 hasn't been working in 2021. And that's not going to change, so get used to it. You know what? Jim comes around eventually. He's right. Kathy Wood is fantastic at identifying long-term growth stocks like Twilio, but they're not stocks for all seasons. Amen, brother. They don't work in this environment, and they really don't work in any inflationary environment. And I've been saying that. Why is that? Because these stocks have very high multiples. And as interest rates go up, it has an inverse relationship on multiples. The multiples contract, and those contraction pains can be quite severe. And the stocks that are most vulnerable to the worst contraction pains are the stocks with the highest multiples. It all is common sense, okay? Well, I totally agree, Jim, with Jim Cramer. Workhorse Group lower after ARK Investment dumped shares in two funds. So she does have a sell strategy. When they go down 60 or 70% from where she bought them, she eventually sells them. You know, look, she's dealing with a lot of money. She probably is not as nimble as I am. All right, the big story today in digital currencies. Tesla suspends Bitcoin transactions on concerns over energy usage. Do you think that Elon's telling the truth? Is he worried about the real underlying value and stability of Bitcoin? Or is he using, you know, that it's not good for the environment to mine Bitcoins as an excuse? I don't know. But Bitcoin plunges. The crypto world erupts as Elon Musk questions energy usage. Earlier this evening, the Tesla chief tweeted that his company would no longer accept Bitcoin. It was only a few weeks that he accepted it, right? As a payment, calling Bitcoin mining an enemy of the environment. Importantly, Musk said Tesla wouldn't be selling any of its Bitcoin stash either. He's going to hold on to his Bitcoin, but he's not going to take any more. All right. MicroStrategy CEO weighs in with a response to Musk's tweet. Ironic, he says, because no incremental energy is used in a Bitcoin transaction. The energy is used to secure the crypto asset network, and the net impact on fossil fuel consumption over time will be negative. All things considered, said Saylor, the CEO of MicroStrategy. He's the holder of more than 90,000 Bitcoins. Well, you know, Elon speaks. Elon goes on SNL. People listen. Cameron Winklevoss, who's one of the big fans and holders of Bitcoin, says when Elon realizes that Bitcoin mining is actually pushing the renewable energy industry forward, he will refresh his position and Bitcoin will go to the moon. Bitcoin mining is a massive subsidy for renewable energy. Well, Bitcoin's down $5,000 per coin. We've got some potential breakthroughs in the biotech industry. I'm always rooting for these. Lucira Health jumps 41%. You can now get their COVID-19 test kit on Amazon. Well, I would say they're about a year late, but anyways. Curis, C-R-I-S, that's what I want. Curis jumps after blood cancer trial indicates impressive results. C-R-I-S. Autolus. Some of us are Autolus. Autolus is A-U-T-L. It's up big on a 100% complete remission in a blood cancer trial. Boy, that would be a huge deal. Minerva surges 27% following positive phase 3 data for schizophrenia candidate. Well, okay, I'm rooting for that. And then on the beleaguered side of stocks, Virgin Galactic, the bulls hang tough on long-term potential. You know what? That's when I said buy that for your great-great-great-grandkids. Xpeng, the Chinese auto stocks, beleaguered under heavy pressure. Let's see how Xpeng, they reported sales. Those stocks look horrible, just absolutely horrible. Amwell, I'm telling you, the telemedicine stocks have been slaughtered, and I got out before the slaughter happened. Amwell, the other one we own, Teladoc, the other one we own, 1M, One Life, slaughtered. A big hedge fund manager likes Peloton. He says the shares can go up four times from where they are now. No thanks. Hedge fund manager Dan Sunheim, very bullish on online used car sales. He owns Carvana. That's another beleaguered stock. Look at the price to sales on that. Not in this market. QuantumScape, defended by Morgan Stanley. Well, that's the solid-state battery stock under severe pressure. DraftKings, under severe pressure. Look at the price to sales, price to earnings. Those are all important. Now, when we come back, I tweeted out earlier this day that I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five stocks to feature in the last segment of the show. Dow's up 464 right now. It's at 34,055. S&P is up 53 right now on this breath of fresh air day in the market. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Our checklist here. Let's put together the requirements in this market. It's like Jim Cramer said, he's finally catching on. What worked last year is not working this year. Okay. And those, he called them turbocharged growth stocks. This is a terrible environment. They don't work in this environment. So what does work in this environment? Well, I've been telling you. I'm saying, you know, you have to look at the forward P.E. ratio. Take the current price of the stock, divide it by next year's earnings. You can look that number up on my app. That needs to be in the high teens or lower. The price to sales ratio seems to be a very key number this year. It hasn't been a key number for about 10 years. Nobody cared about price to sales ratio. But in a value market, price to sales is a very important ratio. I wouldn't stray too far from one. One times sales. In other words, if it's a $100 billion market cap company, they need to have $100 billion in sales. 1 to 1. Little more, little less, somewhere in that range. And lastly, you still want a 10% grower or more. We'll put it at 8%. Let's put it at 8% grower or more. But you want the growth rate to be, you want the forward PE to be lower or about the same as that growth rate. So if you divide the forward PE into the expected growth rate, you can look up the expected growth rate on exacts.com. You can look it up on yahoo.com, but better yet, you can go to beststocksnowapp.com and find that forward growth rate, 5-year. And then when you divide that forward PE into the growth rate, you get a PEG ratio. I wouldn't stray too far from one. All right. Now, those are some pretty strict criteria. Okay, well, I'm going to give you four examples here. KBR, number one. This is one of our holdings, KBR is a $5.8 billion company. They're in the right place right now. They're an infrastructure company. They provide engineering construction services to government, civil, infrastructure, energy, and petrochemical markets. It's hitting a new high today. Now, when I bought it, it met the criteria. I don't have time to look up the criteria right now, but I know that I would still be a buyer of this stock at this point in time. It was talked up. There's a big value investment conference taking place, and one of the big value, stodgy old value investors, did a presentation on this stock, KBR, as a value stock. Lowe's meets my criteria still, L-O-W. Is that not in a right place right now with all of the people fixing up their homes and whatnot? I've always liked Lowe's a lot better than Home Depot. Lowe's still meets my criteria. I see Oppenheimer issued a bullish tactical call on the stock. Now, the stock has really shot up here recently. They're going to report next week, and the expectation is for big, big numbers. But this is an example. You know, Lowe's, L-O-W, for whatever reason, in our neck of the woods, Lowe's is twice as busy as Home Depot. I don't know why that is. There's something against Home Depot out here. They like Lowe's better. I personally like the garden department. I'm an avid gardener. I like the garden department there at Lowe's. Boy, my lettuce is doing fantastic. I can't even believe it. I got lettuce coming out my ears right now. But, you know, you pick those leaves every day. They're living. They're living. And you put them right into the salad. I think it brings life to my whole being. Lowe's Companies is definitely meets my criteria at the current time. And it pays a dividend. And I'm getting my first tomatoes. 1.2%. 1.2% is the yield. Okay, another one. Land. L-A-N-D. Would you rather own a stash of Dogecoins, or would you rather own a good chunk of farmland that you can live off of and be subsistent? Gladstone, symbol, land. What do they do for a living? It's a REIT that owns farmland. I'll bet you didn't know there were those kind of REITs. You know, farmland is disappearing. Urban sprawl, converting to solar farms, growing corn to create fuel instead of food. In the meantime, China is a sucking machine that's sucking up all of the things that we grow here in the U.S. Gladstone Land may not meet the value criteria, but they own 137 farms, leased to 81 separate corporate and independent farmer tenants in Arizona, California, Florida, Michigan, and Nebraska. Man, that's some fertile land. Woo! That stock hitting a new high today, and this REIT pays 2.4%. Invest in cucumbers. Why not? Okay, and one last one. I'm going to skip that one. Tech Resources. T-E-C-K. You say, Bill, finally a tech stock. Thank you. No. Tech is T-E-C-K, not T-E-C-H. It's a Canadian miner of coal, copper, zinc, molybdenum, gold, lead. I don't see Bitcoin anywhere in there. Mainly in Canada, the U.S., Chile, and Peru, where there's a lot of molybdenum. All right, those are your four featured stocks for the day. And I always say, these are not recommendations. These are examples. I do intense research on the market every single day. I eliminate 99% of the stocks that I look at on a daily basis. And I'm looking for that molybdenum hidden down deep in the earth, you know, that meets the criteria that's working in this market. I could not agree with Jim Cramer more. He's 4 weeks late. He's 8 weeks late, I think. He's 8 weeks late, but he's right. What worked last year does not work this year. And the turbo growth stocks, don't go running back into them just because they're up today. Stick with what I think are the right criteria for the market that we have right now that's inflationary. You've got rising interest rates. You've got very high multiples on this market. And you just have to be in the right areas of the market. All right. Well, you know what? The Sarasota, second, third week of June, and then we're going to be headed to Minnesota. You can call us at 855-611-BEST. Just leave a message. We'll get back to you when we have details. Let us know if you want to come to the workshop or the appointment with me and my team. Or get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.